And I want to read first of all tonight in the book of Genesis, in chapter 2. Just before we read, could I just say this, that I found it very difficult over these past few days, really, to come to terms with John's passing. We've been friends for 55 years, and over the years I can truthfully say that we've stood by each other. From these very early days, we had a friendship that was built up and that has lasted. And really, I mean that when I say it, as the Lord confirmed that, I really felt very difficult to cope then over these last few days just to think that of John's passing. We know again for him it is far better. Now last Monday night when we were in the museum, as we were coming away, he did what he hadn't done before on our visits, and he put his hand out to shake hands with us. And I said to him, John, I'll see you another night though. Now that night will never come, because we know that for John it is now an everlasting day. And those of us who know the Lord Jesus our Saviour, we look forward to that day when we will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So dear, I just like, I know I have the responsibility on Thursday, but I'd just like to say that tonight, I salute his memory and thank God for all these years of friendship. As I said, we really stood by each other all our days, and we just should give God thanks for that. Now I want to read in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man out of Adam and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. In the Songs of Solomon in chapter 2. Songs of Solomon chapter 2. And verse 3. We're thinking about trees tonight. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Now, Luke's Gospel in chapter 19. Luke's Gospel chapter 19 and verse 1, a familiar story. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then finally, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're breaking at verse 22. Concerning the Lord Jesus, Peter writes, we did no sin, now there was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again? When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes he was healed. And we trust the Lord will bless his verses to us then tonight. As I said, we want to think about these four references to trees in our Bible. In Genesis chapter 2, remember, we read there of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As we think of that chapter, remember it says, God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and the Lord took Adam and put him into the garden to dress it and to keep it, and he told Adam to eat freely of every tree in the garden except of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We know in chapter 3 the serpent appears, who is the devil, and he cast doubt into his mind as to what God said. And verse 4 he says, thou shalt not surely die. And it says, he partook of the fruit, and the result being, sadly, in verse 19, from dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. We know that the name Eden means pleasure and delight, and that was what God intended. But sadly, because of Eve's disobedience to the word of God, then it became a place, sadly, of God's judgment. Again, when we come into the book of Romans, remember we read these words, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death hath passed upon all men, for at all have sinned. And again, for by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And as we think of these verses, we can see that Satan cast doubt in Eve's mind regarding the word of God. Now I wonder tonight now, has Satan cast doubts into your mind as to the word of God? In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, Eve, Adam and Eve, Adam was told. And again we know that everyone will die. Again, which proves that every one of us have sinned and come short of God's glory. That is with the one exception, as we read there in Peter concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And we do acknowledge the holiness, the intrinsic holiness of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was holy and he was harmless and he was undefiled and he was separate from sinners. Hebrews 9 tells us again, as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Remember John, as he looked upon the Lord Jesus as he walked, in John's Gospel chapter 1 he says, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Now we do acknowledge that not everyone will be saved, but we do know this, that such was the sufficiency of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ there upon Golgotha, that everyone in the world could be saved by faith in him. Remember again that the choice you make today will determine your tomorrow. You know, I often like to quote John chapter 5 and verse 24 in the Gospel, the word of the Lord Jesus, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come under judgment, but is passed out of death into life. One time I quoted that verse in open air, and I misquoted it. I missed out the words, hath everlasting life, in the middle. And Mr. Buffett, he took up the mic after me, and he quoted that. And you know, that is a very important thing to remember, this, that if we believe on him, then we do have everlasting life. How great a gift Jesus gave to me, lived a perfect life and died upon a tree. Not for me alone has he paid the price, but for all the world by his sacrifice. But remember this, you've got to accept it personally. It's got to be a personal experience with God. Again, our salvation is infinitely, was infinitely costly to God, but again, it is absolutely free to us. As we read through the New Testament, remember, in Romans chapter 5, we read about the love of God. In Titus, he speaks about the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, remember the apostle, we speak about this gospel being the power of God unto salvation. Philippians 4, remember, the apostle writes about the peace of God. And again, Romans chapter 6, we read about the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you can come into the enjoyment and the blessing of all these things the day and the moment you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. So sadly, Adam and Eve had the judgment passed upon them because of their disobedience to the word of God, and so with us today. Remember Saul, King Saul, in 1 Samuel. Remember, Samuel told him to destroy everything of the Amalekites. Everything was to be destroyed. But remember Saul, he said to Samuel that he had spared the best of the sheep and the oxen, the cattle. But God had said through Samuel to Saul to destroy everything. And sadly Samuel says to Saul, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now I love animals, I do. And I would think I would find it very difficult. Saul kept the best of the cattle. And from a natural standpoint, maybe you could blame him. But you know that, didn't they come into it? God had said everything and everyone was to be destroyed. And Saul disobeyed the word of God, and sadly he came under the judgment of God because of that. We know that there are consequences for disobedience. We knew that as children. We knew that, again, if we stayed out of line, there wasn't any questions asked. We just got where we stood. And equally today, we know that our prisons are bursting at the seams because people are disobeying the laws of the land, and so they get locked up. And so, again, disobedience to the word of God will bring judgment. But again, it is an eternal judgment. Hebrews tells us that. But again, God's word comes clear to us today. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, English wasn't my strong point at the school, I can tell you that. If I look at the dictionary just to see what the word neglect means, and it was just to allow to pass by without taking notice. And how many people today hear the gospel, but they neglect God's way of salvation. They just allow it to pass by without taking notice. But again, those of us who are saved can say this: upon thy word I rest, so strong, so sure, so full of comfort, blessed, so sweet, so pure, thy word that changes not, that faileth never, my King, I rest upon thy word forever. I've said on many occasions here in the past, concerning my auntie and grandfather singing on a Sunday night some of the gospel hymns. And one of the hymns they used to sing was Standing on the Promises of Christ our King, number 13 in the hymn book. And you know there's a verse there. Now, again, I acknowledge that the hymn writer, if you look at some of our hymns, the hymn writer doesn't always get it right. You think about that now. Sometimes the hymn writer doesn't always get it right. But whoever wrote number 13 in our hymn book did get it right, because he wrote there, or she wrote there, I don't know, perfect present cleansing in the blood for me, standing on the promises I now can see, perfect present cleansing in the blood for me, standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, standing on the promises of God. I wonder tonight, now, are we all standing on the promises of God in regards to our eternal salvation? You know, again, someone has pointed out there are 30,000 promises in our Bible. You know, sometimes in earlier days we used to sing every promise in the book is mine. Well, that would be okay in application, maybe not in interpretation, but in application. There are 30,000 promises in the Bible, and we can all come into the good and blessing of them again tonight if we know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. Some of the older brethren in early days, they used to say to us, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And another favourite term in the earlier days was, procrastination is the thief of time. And how true that is now, isn't it? Make time, save time, while time's last. All time is no time when time is past. And Proverbs says this: if thou shalt be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it. As we think of Adam and Eve, I'm sure of this, that they regretted the rest of their life. The mistake they made that day. They regretted for the rest of their life that mark of disobedience which caused them to come under the judgment of God. And tonight, again, we know that anyone who hears the gospel and rejects it, rejects the word of God, they too will come under the judgment of God, sadly, for all eternity. You know, we often sing again, almost persuaded harvest is past. Almost persuaded doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost. You know, it's not enough to hear about the Lord Jesus. Spurgeon says this, that mere hearing may tune the heart, but the fingers of living faith must create the music. And you know, it all comes back to a personal experience and acknowledgement of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. In Songs of Solomon chapter 2, we read there, she says concerning her beloved, as the apple tree among the trees of my wood, among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. You know, there are many comparisons and our Bibles drawn towards the Lord Jesus, and trees are one of them. Remember Isaiah, we speak about, there shall come forth a shoot from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Zechariah, he speaks twice about the branch, my servant the branch, and behold, the man whose name is the branch shall grow up out of this place. And so again, Songs of Solomon chapter 2 would speak concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. What the woman is really saying here in chapter 2 is that this person, this man, he stood out. This tree stood out from other trees, and this man, he stood out as well. And friend, tonight, again, we can assure you that the Lord Jesus Christ, he really does stand out. Again, we know that the more we get to know people, the more we can see their limitations. But not so with our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the more we get to know him, the more we marvel and wonder at the glory and the greatness of such a person. Proverbs chapter 25, remember, says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And those who heard the Lord Jesus, they maybe didn't know that proverb, but they marvelled at the gracious words that proceeded from his mouth. They marvelled at his power, and they marvelled at his authority. And they would say, never man spake like this man. In his speech he stood out from the crowd. There was no one else spoke like him. And again, those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus as our Saviour know from experience that he stands out from the crowd as he helps and encourages us in our days. You know, we associate certain hymns with certain people. Albert Lecky, I would always associate Albert Lecky with, there's no one like my Saviour. There's no friend can be like him. No one like my precious Saviour. No one such a friend can be. No one like my precious Saviour. Glory, glory, Jesus cares for me. And I can still see Albert Lecky giving out that hymn and singing it. There was no one. And we all can confirm tonight, those of us who know him as our Saviour, that really he stands out from the crowd. There's no one like him. Again, we know that the name of Jesus is precious to those who believe, and sadly profane to those that spurn him. I wonder then tonight, what does he mean to you? I wonder, does he really stand out from the crowd because you have trusted him as your Saviour? You know, again, the word of God comes loud and clear. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And it's been said that it's a dangerous presumption to say tomorrow when God says today. But again, it has been said, the faintest knock of faith opens wide the door to forgiveness. When we go into Revelation chapter 3, it's the Lord Jesus that does the knocking. Remember, he says there in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. But remember again tonight, friend, we are saved not by what we do, but by trusting what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. So her beloved, he stood out from the crowd again, and so with our Lord Jesus Christ. And she says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Under his wings I am safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me. I am his child. And we know that sitting under his shadow would speak about peace and security and quietness. Again, we know, again, there's other references to that. David would say, thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble, thou shalt comfort me about with songs of deliverance. Remember Isaiah, he speaks about a man being a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, as a great rock in a weary land. And you know, again, it's good to remember, as we again often sing, that when the storms of life are raging, tempest wild on sea and land, I will seek a place of refuge in the shadow of his hand. So whether you think of the tree or the rock, again, it is a place of safety and security, because the Lord Jesus again says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Again, someone has said that God's grace is infinite love expressing itself through infinite goodness. You know, if I were allowed tonight to have a favourite verse in the Old Testament, it would be this: I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee? And if I were allowed a favourite verse from the New Testament, it would be Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And we know that from the children right up to us older people, that the Lord Jesus loves us and died for us there upon Golgotha. And faith in Christ is not just a single step, it's a lifetime walk with him. Remember this, suppose you forget anything else tonight we've read or said, remember this, Lord loves you. And he says to you tonight as well, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn you. And again, through faith in the Lord Jesus, you too will be able to say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Remembering this again, God does not love you because of who you are, but because of who he is. Luke chapter 19, a familiar story with the children, and often in the Gospel as well, regarding Zacchaeus. Remember it says, he was rich, and my Bible has an emphatic letters there, and it really means he was rich. And yet, sadly, it seemed he didn't seem to be contented. Remember, Solomon says that he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, neither he that loveth abundance with increase. So possibly this man, Zacchaeus, he had everything that he could wish for materially, but sadly he felt there was something lacking. In earlier days we were told, remember, that he was covetous. You know that money, everybody needs money. Some of us need more money than others. Everybody needs money, but money's not the problem. But the Bible tells us it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And so this man, remember when the Lord Jesus spoke to the publicans on another occasion, he said, exact no more than is due. So no doubt this man had made a good living, out of other people's money. So he was covetous. And then, remember, he was curious. It says of him that he wanted to see Jesus, who he was. We don't know how he heard or what he had heard about the Lord Jesus. Maybe he had heard about Bartimaeus receiving his sight. We don't know, but he was curious and he wanted to see Jesus, and we know he climbed up the sycamore tree to see him. And then we were told that Zacchaeus was challenged. Remember, the Lord Jesus says to him, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And it said he made haste and he came down and received him joyfully. I wonder now how many times have you been challenged by the word of God. Zacchaeus, he was challenged here and he responded. I wonder, have you ever responded to the challenge of the word of God? How often have you heard, come unto me all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So often have you heard that verse that we've quoted from Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. I wonder, have you ever heard the challenge of the word of God? Remember Saul on the road to Damascus? He heard the challenge that day, and that man was completely changed. I wonder now, have you heard the challenge of the word of God? So Zacchaeus, he was covetous and he was curious, he was challenged, and then he was changed. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. I'm sure of this, that the people that were there and heard Zacchaeus talk like that, they wouldn't believe their, couldn't believe their ears. He was a man who had dealt so unrighteously and taken money that didn't really belong to him. But they heard of this change in the man. What a wonderful change. Now, I don't think it would be written in those days, but he could sing, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And so there, Zacchaeus was changed, and we know that Saul was changed, and we know those of us tonight who were saved in earlier days, we were changed as well, even as young boys we were changed, because we responded to the word of the Saviour. And what glorious words these were, this day salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now the change came about not because he was rich, but because he acknowledged the Lord Jesus that day as Lord. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What God has done in Christ for man is so complete, all that man can do is accept it by faith, and Zacchaeus did that day. To his own self, Peter says, bore our sins on his own body on the tree. You know, again, someone has said, each day I live, I am but more indebted to it than before, but nothing can exhaust the store of God's forgiving love. Again, it has been pointed out that Calvary is the centre of world history. It speaks of the highest measure of love. It speaks about the deepest measure of suffering. It speaks about the widest measure of salvation. And those before looked forward to Calvary. All before looked forward to Calvary. Abraham and all these people, really, they didn't really know what was going to happen, but they looked forward. My God, my son, God will provide himself with a lamb. Little did they know what he was saying that day, but God did in the person of the Lord Jesus. And all since Calvary, we all look back to it and thank God for a finished work there. You know, we often sing, and we sing so many times and hear so much about Calvary. But you know, Calvary is only mentioned once in our Bibles. Matthew and Mark and John speak about Golgotha. It's only Luke that speaks about Calvary. Now, they both mean the same, the place of the skull. Calvary is only mentioned once by name in our Bibles. And another word that is only mentioned once in our Bibles is eternity. Only once in Isaiah, I can't remember the chapter now, but only once in our Bibles is the word eternity mentioned. But you know, your destiny and your place in eternity will be determined by your response to what the Lord Jesus did there on Calvary. I wonder tonight, as you think of these things, I wonder tonight, are you going to accept the Lord Jesus as your Saviour? As I say, now is the time to choose the Lord, because later may never come. The hymn writer says, believe it, O sinner, believe it. Receive the glad message, this truth. The important word to us now, in the crucified Saviour, salvation he offers to you. Because the Lord will bless these verses to us, and every one of us would go from this place rejoicing in God's salvation. And shall we pray? Our Father, we do thank thee for the message of the gospel. We thank thee for its extent tonight, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Help us all to understand that right down to the children, and that every one of us just might know thy blessing and thy salvation. We commend ourselves to thee now. Take us all home safely and watch over us all and bless us all with us. Again, we thank the John's family tonight. Commend Jean and her boys and Graham for thy blessing and help. We commend young John to thee. As far as you know, he's never acknowledged the Lord Jesus as his Saviour. And our prayer tonight would be that just through this experience that he's passing through now, that he might turn to thee and be blessed and saved. We thank thee again for the Lord Jesus and all he accomplished for thee and for us there upon the cross, commending ourselves to thee again in his name. Amen.